Good morning. Our today's Bible reading is taken from the book of Exodus 40, 17 to 24. Exodus chapter 40, verse 17 to 24. I read, "And it came to pass in the first month in the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up. And Moses reared up the tabernacle, and fastened his socket, and set up the rod thereof, and put in the bar thereof, and reared up his pillar. And he spread abroad the tent over the tabernacle, and put the covering of the tent above upon it. And the Lord commanded Moses. And he took and put the testimony into the ark, and set the staves and the ark, and put the mercy seat above upon the ark. And he brought the ark unto the tabernacle, and set up the veil of the covering, and covered the ark of the testimony. And the Lord commanded Moses. And he put the table in the tent of the congregation upon the side of the tabernacle, northward, without the veil. And he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord, as the Lord has commanded Moses. And he put the candlestick in the tent of the congregation over against the table, on the side of the tabernacle, southward. And he lighted the lamp before the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses." May God continue to be with us as we obey his word, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We thank God for his grace and for his mercy, for his everlasting love and his long-suffering towards us, and that he spared us one more day that we would come to this place to worship him in spirit and in truth. Two things I want you to do, church, regarding God himself. The only thing, as the song said, better than Jesus is more Jesus. And the second thing is that God is good not just on Sunday morning. God is good all the time, and all the time our God is good. Because he woke you up this morning, it was not your alarm clock that woke you up. Because many a person's alarm went off this morning and did not get up. It is God who puts you to sleep, and it is God who wakes you up in the morning, and it is by his grace that he exists, and as the Bible says, in him we live and move and have our being. We're certainly mindful this morning of our dear sister Janet. This morning we thank God for her operation that she underwent on last week, Friday. As she begins her recovery, we ask that you continue to pray earnestly to the Lord as you have done so. We recognize that life, as James says, it is but a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. And so therefore, the teachers, church, to always trust God, not only in the good times, but also in the challenging times. For the Bible also says, "For all things work together for good to them who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose." All things have to include everything. And so God is still in control, and we can give God thanks even when we don't understand and even when we cannot see him at work. It's just like the doctor in the operating room. He is in the back room sometimes. We can't see what's going on, but God does not sleep. And as one sister said, he doesn't rip a Jones. So we thank God for that. This morning, I invite your kind attention to the book, the Old Testament book of Exodus, the book of Exodus. It's the second book in your Bible, Genesis, and then Exodus, chapter 40. And meet me at verse number 17. Exodus chapter 40, verse number 17. Please also keep in your prayers the nation of Morocco. Now, as many of you have heard, they suffered an earthquake over the weekend, and over 2,000 have died as a result. So we want to pray for God's blessing upon those who will again begin the long road of recovery. For those who mourn, that the God of all comfort will be with them, even during this. appears to be a threatening situation. Exodus chapter 40, verse 17, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. It is here that our Bibles read and teach. And it came to pass in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was raised up. So Moses raised up the tabernacle, fastened its socket, set up its boards, put in all its bars, and raised up its pillars. And he spread out the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering of the tent on top of it, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 20 says, he took the testimony and put it into the ark, inserted the pillars through the rings of the ark, and put the mercy seat on top of the ark. And he bore the ark into the tabernacle, hung up the veil of the covering, and partitioned off the ark of the testimony, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the table in the tabernacle of meeting on the north side of the tabernacle, outside of it. And he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the lampstand in the tabernacle of meeting, across from the table, on the south side of the tabernacle. And he lit the lamps before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the gold altar in the tabernacle of meeting in front of the veil, and he burned sweet incense on it, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He hung up the screen at the door of the tabernacle. And verse 29 says, and he put the altar of burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, and offered upon it the burnt offering and the grain offering, as the Lord had commanded Moses. So he set the laver between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar, and put water there for washing. And Moses, Aaron, and his sons would wash their hands and their feet with water from it, whenever they went into the tabernacle of meeting, and when they came near the altar, they washed as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 33 says, and he raised up the court all around the tabernacle and the altar, and hung up the screen of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Exodus chapter 40, verses 17 through 34. The message is entitled, Peace by Peace. Peace by Peace. There in the box lay all the parts, thousands of them. Plastic blocks, wheels, pulls, and all sorts of seemingly incompatible and unstable pieces. It was time to help the little boy to put them together into something recognizable. But first, they had to look at the instructions. Without them, they and we could have snapped pieces together, but would never have been able to construct the fire station or helicopter shown on the box. Back in the days of Israel's wanderings in the wilderness, Moses also faced the task of putting together a structure using a variety of pieces. In Exodus chapter 36 to Exodus chapter 39, we read that the people had gathered materials and built the parts of the tabernacle. Then the Lord told Moses how to put it together in Exodus chapter 40, which we read. With the tabernacle and our lives, our homes, our families, and our marriages, etc., the only right way is to build is to follow God's guidance, God's instructions, God's pattern. So the question this morning is, are we allowing him to direct our steps? Are we following his instructions as outlined in his book, the Bible, Peace by Peace? And so we want to consider this morning from the text in front of us, this illustration. First of all, I want to say to you this morning that we must follow his instructions. You and I must follow God's instructions. Because Moses was instructed to do just that, and that's what he was told to do. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 24. Exodus, the 24th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Exodus 24, verses 1 and 2. Here we see the Lord, or God, speaking to Moses. Exodus 24, verse 1 says, now he said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar. Verse 2 says, and Moses alone shall come near to the Lord, But they shall not come near, nor shall the people go up within. And then the verses, verse 9 through verse 18 says, then Moses went up, and also Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone. And it was like the very heavens in its clarity. But on the nobles of the children of Israel, he did not lay his hand. So they saw God, and they ate and drank. And notice verse number 12 in particular. Says, then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I will give you the tablets of stone and the law and commandments, which I have written, that you may teach them. So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up on the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. Indeed, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man has a difficulty, let him go to them. Then Moses, in verse 15, went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. You know, the Bible has an interesting way you find that 40 and 40. Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days as well. And so we see that here God called Moses for a special work, and he said, I will give you the law and commandments, verse number 2, verse number 12, which I, the Lord, have written that you may teach them. So, and the Bible says in Exodus chapter 25 and verse number 9, this, Exodus chapter 25 and verse number 9. See, we see some principles on how God gives instruction on what to do. It says in verse number 9, according to all that I show you, this is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it. A pattern, what is a pattern? A pattern is a shadow of the reality to come, just like a blueprint. If you and I want to build a house, you will go to an architect and he would have a vision, and you perhaps would have a vision, and he would put together a blueprint. But a blueprint is a shadowy reality of the house to be built. You really don't live in blueprints. But God himself has set a pattern in his word, and he said to Moses, I will give you the pattern, and you are to build it piece by piece, just as I have instructed. So we too must not deviate or stray away from it. So first point, follow his instructions. Point number two, Jesus followed God's instructions. Jesus followed God's instructions. How do we know that? In John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Notice what Jesus said. John chapter 14 and verse number 7, Jesus says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. Philip in verse 8 said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? And verse number 10 says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak, Jesus says, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. And so Jesus himself, though he was the Son of God, acknowledged and recognized that he had no authority to speak anything other than what the Father had given him to speak. And so if it was good enough for Jesus, it ought to be good enough for us. And then in John chapter 12, you're still in the Gospel of John chapter 12, and verse number 42. John chapter 12 and verse number 42. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him." And that belief in and of itself is not far enough. It says, "But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of man more than the praise of God." And notice verse number 44. Then Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me." And verse 45, and he says, "And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." And verse 47 says, "And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words hath that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." What do you mean by that, Jesus? Keep reading. Jesus says again, here in John 12, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me as a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is everlasting, that therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." What's the point? Word by word, Jesus said, nothing he said was other than what the Father had given him to speak. And even for us today, what do we have to offer the world? What do we have to offer one another but the word of the Lord? "I have nothing else to give to you." And so our authority comes by and through following the word, word by word, no more and no less. And third point is, the apostles followed the pattern of instructions as well. The apostles followed the pattern of instructions as well. And don't you know they passed that same pattern on to the churches? And that became what we now know as our New Testament. And so they, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote these things down so that you and I can have something to say. How do we know that? 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'll give you a chance to turn there. And verse number 12. Notice what Paul tells young Timothy. And Paul is here speaking or referring to himself. He says in verse number 12, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry or the work." And he says, "Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I have obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundantly with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." He says in verse 15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." But notice this point. What's the point, Paul? He says, "However," verse 16, "for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ may show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life." There's that pattern again. And so God saved Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. You remember that in the book of Acts. But God used him as a pattern, as a blueprint of his long-suffering towards us. Though we do things ignorantly in our lives, God still shows us grace and mercy. And so we use that as a pattern to help to reach out to those just like us. We do things ignorantly. All of us are ignorant on certain things. And so we can look at the Bible. And so the apostles in the New Testament, their teaching became the pattern of blueprint for our instruction in Christian living. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished for every good work. What do you mean by that? All scripture is given for us to teach us as a parent how to live the Christian life. And so, what else do we have? Nothing else. We don't have to get any creeds or a private interpretation. He says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's proper, it is beneficial for our teaching. And he says that the man of God may be complete. If you do it and you follow this book piece by piece, if you do what he says, you'll get what he promised. But the problem is for us today, you know what our problem is today? We hear the word, we see the word, but we don't practice or follow the word piece by piece. And so the apostle Paul understood the difference between following self and also following Christ's pattern. You remember the scripture in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse number 1. 1 Corinthians 11, he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. You would have to be living on the rock if you're not aware that Beyonce is having a world tour. Beyonce is having a world tour, and folk are just lining up, paying thousands of dollars for tickets to go and see a woman running around with half naked. And folk they want to know all the moves. They want to practice all the songs. But Paul said, imitate me. Or follow the pattern, or follow my pattern as I follow the pattern of Christ. If you follow the world, you'll get what the world can give you, which is nothing. If you follow Satan, Satan will give you nothing. But if you follow Jesus, you can get the best of heaven. But you've got to do it, as the book says, piece by piece. And so, church, if you and I follow God's instruction as outlined in his Bible, he will help us to put the pieces of our lives together so we will bring glory and honor to his name. You know, someone has wisely said that we are all broken people. We are all broken people. Coming in here sometimes, we can pretend like all our pieces are together, but God sees us for who we really are. Who can fix and put those pieces together? Nobody but Jesus. More about Jesus, let me learn. More of his holy will discern. How do we do that? You've got to get in this book. You've got to get in this book. Someone says, well, how do I allow God to put the pieces together in my life? Well, there are five things you need to do. And Lord willing, we all have that memorized soon. The five steps of salvation, God's plan of salvation. First of all, the book says, the Bible says, first of all, you've got to hear God's word. Romans 10, 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then you've got to believe that Jesus Christ is the only one that can put your pieces together. Is your life falling apart today? Jesus can put it back together. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Then you've got to repent of your sins. Repentance simply means to change your mind with a view to changing your actions. That's Luke 13:3-5. I tell you, nay, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Step number four, you must confess Jesus as Lord. That confession is simply that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans 10 and verse number 9. With the heart one believes to righteousness, that's 9 and 10. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then you must do the fifth thing. You must be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. That's Acts 2 and verse number 38. Acts 22, 16, Mark 16, 15, and 16, and many other passages of scripture. But you've got to do something else. You've got to remain faithful unto that. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10. It says, if you remain faithful unto that, he said he will give you a crown of life. that is a Stephanus crown, the victor's crown, and guess what? That crown is available to every last one of us. But you've got to do it like the book says. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you can become a Christian by doing those five simple things. The reason it's called the Church of Christ is the church that he built and purchased with his own blood. And Jesus is still in the saving business in 2023. And you can do the same thing they did in Acts 2 and be baptized in water for the remission of sin. Someone said, well, where's the baptistry? It's right here. The baptistry's here, the water's here, and it's ready. But the question is, are you ready? For those of us who are Christians, one of the things I realize today more than ever before, that we are truly living in the last days. We are living in the last days. And the reality is this, if you don't realize it, that you and I today are closer to dying than we were yesterday this time. You and I stand for those who have not obeyed the gospel. Stand at a guilty distance from the Lord. And if you leave here without Jesus, you'll leave here with the best peace of your life. If you need prayer this morning, it will be our privilege to pray with you and for you, or you want to give your life to Christ as we stand and sing the song of invitation.